From blood sacrifices and grudge kills, we're Peacock and Nix. Spoilers coming up. Ready? Buzzes in.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay. Welcome, AfterBuzz TV Nation.
We're going to talk about some stuff.
Crazy shot.
We're all shook. We just finished watching the West Coast airing of, how did they say? Trompe l'œil. That's tonight's episode.
Yeah, Trompe l'œil. Yeah, it's French words.
Yes.
But I did find out what it means.
What is it, Dave?
It means, oh my God, did I not write down? It meant like the deceive the eye.
Ah.
And it's an art technique where they use realistic images to make 2D images look 3D.
Like in architecture.
Yeah, to kind of like trick. Yeah, to try and trick your eye. So using optical illusion and to deceive the eye. And I think
what
we know why it was called
title.
That. Yeah.
What?
Wow. Yes. Back there.
But before we go any further, let us introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm JC Rubio. And follow me over at JC Rubio TV all across the board. And to my left tonight,
I'm Joelle Monique, and I'm very disappointed. You can find me everywhere at Joelle Monique.
Disappointed?
Why? We'll get into that.
We'll get into that.
Across the table.
How's it going? My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And we are live in the chat, so feel free to talk with us and each other and theories and such.
What do you guys want to talk about? I bet I know. I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child and DaveChild.com. I am excited.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy to first get information.
Yes.
And like we're moving along with the story here. It's not delaying things. We were waiting for someone to be revealed to be a host. By the way, why would you ever watch this before you actually watch Westworld?
Yes.
But just make sure you do that because Bernard's a host.
Boom.
So.
Oh my gosh.
You just
wait,
ripped
what?
The band-aid off.
You
did
not do that. Spoilers. I didn't do that. No.
Wait.
Oh, I did
everybody.
It.
We also have to introduce our engineer who did not know of this and
he's
a huge fan.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to the show.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Neil, what is up, my friend? How are you, man? Sorry about that. Okay,
cool.
He's just
not going to talk to us.
No worries, guys. I got a job to do, and I'm going to do it.
Oh, look at Neil. He's sitting there. No problems, because Neil's in the booth.
I will say, everyone, be kind tomorrow, okay? Some people don't watch a show right away.
Yes.
Watch out on those Facebook posts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all going through a hard week. Let's just make it easier and just don't reveal stuff.
And spoilers.
Dave, were you the one telling me that our exec producer was walking by our screen and he saw the blow-up screen of El Lazo shooting up Slim?
Yeah.
He's like, God! There was just so many spoilers.
So many things
happened. And we haven't even gotten to the biggest one. So going once, going twice, all right.
Okay.
Talk about tonight's episode. Not just that Bernard is a host, but he's also a killer.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Then Joel, I want you to take the lead because I need.
Why are you disappointed? I want to find out why you're disappointed with this.
Look, okay, first of all, no, if we're going to be just honest about it, like from a writing standpoint, I'm like, this is amazing. It's a plot we kind of predicted early on in episodes 1 and 2 where we were like,
People
it could be, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't seem to trust anybody, but Bernard's always around.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's a great payoff, but I love Bernard so much. He is so precious in my heart and sweet and kind and having overcome things. And to find out that not only is he a host, but the things that he's been made to do and now the way he's kind of been tinkering and having these conversations, and it opens up a whole Pandora's box of questions. I wanted him to be flesh and blood so bad. But even though he feels kind of castrated now, I feel like we're going to get a new revolutionary Bernard, and I'm a little excited about that.
Kind of getting a little bit ahead, but what we've seen for the preview for next week, how do you feel then that he seems to feel about what he's done? Because I was happy, because I'm like, okay, good, because it would kind of be almost boring if he does it and then is like, it's gone.
When we get,
it sucks that he has to be like, I did these things, but it's more engaging as a viewer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then when you look at the conversation between Bernard and Teresa before they get to the cabin, Bernard tells Teresa, you know, we only have half of it because he programmed the other half.
Yes.
Which makes me wonder, like, and then we have that line about, you know, the host, after so many, like, doing things so variations. Many times. Yes, after so many variations. Yes.
Repetition causes variation.
Something yes. Like that. Yes, yes,
yes.
This feels very much like something programmed very long ago. It seems like the launch and the start of the game, which is thrilling. And
well, they didn't say Bernard was that old, though.
Well, no, he's yeah. That was a nod. That was a hint because they had Ford did say he wasn't around when Bernard was around, which makes me think that
Bernard wasn't around when Arnold was around.
Yeah, well, that's you same just said,
I
same
heard,
way.
Sorry, I heard when Bernard was around. I'm like, wait, what?
Arnold, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. Arnold wasn't around when Bernard was around.
Thank you, okay.
I get them mixed up because I think they're the same person.
What do you think now?
I think I'm going with the Bernard theory.
Wow.
Bernie.
Yes.
I think he's a copy of what Arnold was, because I think that has to be what those Dolores talking to... Bernard, oh my God.
Talking to
Bernard in the room that we finally find out where that room is.
Yep. Yeah.
That where Dolores is talking to Bernard is the room they find underneath the cabin.
I'm just going to try to hack away at this theory because Arnold's blueprints are with those old original blueprints.
Yes.
But also, okay, the blueprints throw a lot into question because originally he says that Arnold built them for Ford. Ford said Arnold built these for me. But they seem to be in his secret underground lair with the plans that
maybe he's made. Ford's tinkered with them after or made his own diagrams or something.
I've also got another theory that might be a bit too extreme. But this is, if we want to open this up, I think they're always playing off the idea of the singularity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I am really leaning towards the idea that Ford might even be created by Arnold himself.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that the whole park and everything, at least from Ford's perspective, is all being run by Arnold and is all part of the singularity of just machines making machines, and machines are making the decision, and that's just what's happening in Westworld.
This makes
right
a lot
now.
Of sense to me because we know that in order for them to form games, they have to have had the experiences that the talking to the other hosts is practiced for them.
Right.
So if he sees the youth him repetitively, then those memories become instinctual.
Yeah, you know what it's I mean? A way of processing.
And also the idea of Bernard dreaming, we see him dream at the start of the episode. I'm wondering what experience, like, was he a host in the park that he pulled and brought back? But that doesn't quite make sense to me because then you would know his features.
I felt like that was the backstory instilled into him.
That's what I thought too.
Perhaps, but he has a conversation with his wife. But a few episodes ago, right, video chat.
Could they have made memories?
But here, there's a big tell. I'm
really
glad you brought that up, Joel.
Right.
In episode 3 in The Stray, when you're talking about, that's the exact episode, I believe, when Ford was giving Teddy Flood his own narrative because he needed to.
Yeah.
And that tell at the same time is what Ford is getting that story where he ran into his supposed ex-baby mama.
Right.
So, and it was a little on the nose. It was kind of telling you slightly, yes, Dave.
Also, you got to keep in mind it was a video chat and... What was revealed in this episode especially is we've been mostly watching Westworld through Bernard's eyes.
Yes.
He's been our narrator, and I think we found out he's an unreliable narrator for a couple of reasons. And one of them is when they go into the cabin and he's looking around and there's no door. He sees no door. We see no door.
Correct.
There's
I watched this scene. Separate.
I watched this scene a couple of times. Mm-hmm. We see no door, and he sees no door. And then when she asks about the door, then he's like, "What door?"
Yep.
And then looks over, and that was my first. Oh, he's a host.
He
just said the line of like, "Well, they're programmed not to see it."
And I'm also glad it wasn't just that. And then we wait a few episodes until it's definite.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That, so I was so ecstatic when we went from that. Oh, we now know he's a host. To now you're telling us he's a host, but it shows that what we're seeing, especially from Bernard's perspective, is not necessarily what's actually going on.
Correct.
Well, so I think that maybe that telephone conference might have been just like not didn't exist.
Right. Totally possible. And also, let's look at the Dolores conversations. And now, you know, that's just Ford, right?
I don't think so. I think that's actually we're seeing Arnold talk to Dolores in the past.
Now, I want to know how many of you guys are going to go back tonight after this episode and watch episodes 1 through 6 again.
Of
because
course.
Now you have to watch it through Bernard's eyes. And,
no, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Now this all makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, this is actually a good time to rewatch the whole season up to this point again.
You know, and it's so many things that happened. Of course, another thing that dropped and we didn't put it on our topic list, Elsie as well.
Oh, yes. Right. We don't know where Elsie is.
We do not know.
And Bernard doesn't Elsie's know where
Elsie is. Elsie's been taken care of.
Well, there was the weird line that they're like, she went on her leave. And you're like, whoa.
We for sure saw her kidnapped.
That is a cover up if there's any, you know.
I don't think she's dead.
I don't think she's dead, but it was a way to let somebody else know. Be like, no, she's gone.
My theory.
Like, well, not going to ask questions now.
Yeah, I think she's actually now on the side of the corporation and against Bernard and Ford. I think she was kind of recruited. I think that's what that arm was basically being like, listen, okay, now that you know, this is what's going on.
Is she with the board then?
Yeah, or she's...
Or some other...
Maybe
that doesn't make
the
sense
board.
To me, though. Why not put her back in active duty? Why have her on leave?
Because
then?
Right now, they're. I mean, it's
no,
been
no,
a day,
they don't
right?
know that. You know, like, that's what they're told, that she's on leave. And so, within the park...
Right,
they...
but I mean the board. Like, if you have her, if you've told her the information...
Yes.
And she's a part of the system now, then why not put her back in to inform and...
But she can come back.
She can come back.
Yeah.
Right now, it's been a day, and what I'm saying is, like, we could...
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
I'm maybe not. Maybe we'll find her dead, but I also could see it flashing to her in some corporate office somewhere and then being like, hey, listen, this is what's going on. Or maybe that Stubbs that grabbed her and is talking to her about, like, listen, this is what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. We're trying to
I do not think it's a positive situation.
Fans are lighting us up tonight. I mean, Windmill360 saying she's with Arnold. But another fan, Elias, brought up the fact, what about the photograph that Bernard saw? Was that just applied to him then? The very first one with his son.
Well, there was a photo when he gotten out of bed, and I don't know if just the lighting was dark, but when he got out of bed with his dream, it's just him.
It's just him in
you
the
can't
photo.
See anybody else.
Wait, what are you saying?
When he there's wakes up from the bad dream in this episode, he rolls out of bed, grabs a photo, and either it was just hard lighting where I saw it, but it looks like it's just, you only recognize his face. You do not see anyone else
and
in the
photo.
And
then when he picks it up, then you see him looking at the kid.
No, I didn't.
At him and his kid.
No, there's
the
no
only
kid
photo
in the photo.
I saw, there's nobody else in the photo besides him.
Oh, no, there was definitely a kid in the photo.
Oh, okay.
At one
that
point.
Lighting
like a bright...
was super hard to see.
But
well,
there's
what
no
I'm
detail
saying,
of his face.
Yeah. What I'm No, there was. But what I'm wondering is maybe there was a shot where it wasn't there and then it was there. But I definitely saw the same kid from his dream in the photo.
Okay, when I saw it in the photo, I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's what I saw. So maybe maybe I'm a host and it was created in my head. But
I have one that was weird and we kind of started to talk about it before. Though. I'm like, fine, I'll... give my weird theory because I asked you guys real quick and then you're like, wait, no. Okay, so when and we're kind of jumping to with Teresa and Ford and
that's okay.
Bernard. So when he was giving the explanation about the peacock and it's the intelligence and that's for the mating, I was like, where are you going with this? And then I felt this was like a very obscure way for Ford to be like mating ritual to Teresa, and I'm like, this makes no sense. Well, then clearly it's not, but it was so. I'm like, well, why
well,
talk about that?
This is what I think that discussion
was weird.
Was.
I don't know. Nobody else thought it was that weird.
I didn't think
I got
it was
super creepy crawly. Like, this is awkward.
What I got from that conversation is that Ford finds personality and intelligence and wit to be as superficial as like peacock feathers. As there's something that could be put upon, like a fedora at a party
was,
or something.
Yeah. But it's, it was almost like, why bother telling her this?
It's a power
just
play.
Weird. I think it's also just to...
Power some?
I think he likes to also supervillain babble a little bit.
Yes.
It was just to reinforce the fact that Teresa wanted Bernard for some freaky deaky action as well, and he brought that up. Mm-hmm. How humans' basic need is basically to mate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this I don't felt know, like just... pure power play to me, just in that he's like, yeah, I crafted this story because I saw who you were. Right. Like, you don't impress me, you don't confuse me, you're not as slick as you think you are, and you're not the first person the board has sent. And so I knew what you wanted, and I designed it, and I gave it to you, because that's what I do. I run this park.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of, if you know, he might be a host himself, but my theory. But I think if he's, even if he isn't, he is definitely a sociopath. He, like, doesn't, he regards human life the same as these human, these creatures that he creates.
Well, he's really intense slavery metaphors.
Yeah.
In this, where they're like, they're happier here under my control.
One thing I'm curious about is, like, what is the corporation wanting to get from the park? They hinted at it, and they talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, what is the IP? Why do they need the IP?
Yeah, they need... Well, what they need is, like, everything... they have every sort of information about the park is stored in the actual... is stored in the actual park, and all the information and every sort of data and the building blocks of something is in the park. And I think they want the actual... I think they're pulling a Jurassic Park. I think they want the actual technology and the and maybe the AI that's available in the
park.
What
if the ultimate information then is at the center of the maze, and that's what's there? If that's what they've been trying to collect or get a hold of, and it's all there, what if that's at the center of the maze, which makes it hard to get to?
Am I just looking at this at the superficial level then? Because basically, Ford has all those answers.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. That's, I think Ford, right now in the story, we're seeing Ford keep that so he can maintain the park. Because once he gets rid of that information, gives it to the corporation, then he's lost total control of the park. Yes. There's no need for a Ford anymore.
Yeah.
So he's holding on to that. But another side of it is, what I'm wondering is, if he's a part of the Arnold program, I don't buy it. I don't think Arnold's waiting somewhere. I think Arnold's gone, but this is all built by Arnold. If he's a part of the program, that would explain why he doesn't bury the maze. Why he doesn't get rid of the maze, and the maze is still open. Like, he's not able to roll over that town in the previous episode because he has to keep the maze open because it's all part of Arnold's game. And Arnold, whatever the final thing is, Arnold wants it to be discovered. And I think he wants it to be discovered by someone who loves and respects the park and not the corporation, which is why he buried it. And this is very Ready Player One, but I think that's why he buried it into the park itself. And so the corporation can't find this information, but maybe someone who, maybe they're Willy Wonka-ing it, and this is just Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. And this way, like, the man in black is Charlie.
That's a solid theory.
Sure.
Yeah.
I choose to believe with not much factual evidence, but I choose to believe that Ford is flesh and bone, because I just can't have too many more hosts. Just dramatically, I don't know. That doesn't really feel like it's going
to
work.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's nice to have a flesh and bone person.
Yeah, and especially somebody with this high god complex and the idea of a rival who may or may not be dead, but fighting someone beyond the grave is just so...
Right.
Such a fascinating idea to me.
Unless it's a god... unless he's a god created by man... who was created beyond the grave. So it is like, it's just, now God has gone way too far and is its own creature, which is what Ford is. So if, I actually like the idea of him as a host now, after he's done this, after it's revealed that Bernard is. I think if this was introduced in episode one, that would be a bit too much, even though I had this theory in episode one. But I felt like if he's... Then he's the life finds a way. He's the chaos. He's the one that can control everything because he's part of it, and he represents the singularity.
So would you be satisfied, or would you be surprised if they go, surprise, Ford is a host too?
I would be satisfied right now. But, I mean, it all depends on how they build up to it.
Yeah.
Keep sending us your theories. Chat roll, you guys are making me laugh. Oh, good Lord, Kittredge. I'm just going to leave that one alone. You guys can find that one later. Talking about in the election earlier this week.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
With that said.
We live on Westworld now, by the way. Just to say that. Okay, let's continue.
Let's speak about Delos. Let's speak about Charlotte Hale, the introduction of Charlotte, and also the great meeting with Hector and Teresa Cullen.
Right.
You guys were loving this. The girl power when she was having sex with Hector and bringing up the fact that...
Well, even that, it's the opening the door naked.
Right? Yeah. Power move all around.
That was... I have total confidence
here. I'm really curious to see what her like what how old this character is, not the actress, but the actual character, because she doesn't seem that old, and I'm so curious as to how she plays into the company. Is this something she inherited that she's protecting? Right, like, okay. I know that she's on the board, but she seems like such a young yes. member of such a high-ranking well, board.
She's also so comfortable with it all and everything. Yeah. And so 100%, I have everything handled. I have everything under control. Her entire conversation with Teresa, she was just like, I'm gonna lounge here and, like, not care about anything but tell you what to do. And you're just like, yeah, like, how long has she been doing this her whole life?
I mean, she might not be as, she might be older than she looks, too.
That's yeah. also possible.
Because this is a world where you, I'm not saying she's a host, because I think it does get,
it can be a plastic.
Yeah, it does go a little bit.
Plastic
but,
surgery.
Yeah, you know? I'm saying, yeah. but if you're able to build people, then you're probably able to manipulate your own body parts sure. in a way that's like, that. And I'm not saying that's necessarily what's happening, because she could also just be a badass 28-year-old or yeah. something.
Sure.
Totally.
And more importantly, we find out their diabolical plan, how they need to set up, bring in Clementine, to beat up this so-called host,
right? Aww.
Believing it's human, but the fact that they saw through this, so they knew all along. But you could even see, you know, I'm fast forwarding to the interaction between Clementine and that host, and mm-hmm. then Stubbs has to shoot her, and we see this moment where they ask, I believe it's Charlotte that was asking, either someone was sloppy or someone's programming them from the outside, and you see Bernard give a nod to Ford. I don't know if you saw that in that mm-hmm. clip. Mm-hmm. He was still protecting to the very end, no matter what. When he didn't even think he was a host.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's the sense of, because this all started with a new update that Ford created, and that seemed to cause a glitch in the system. That's where we thought we were on episode one. Right. So I think Bernard was like, I don't want to admit it was Ford's update. I'd rather, you know, take the knife for him personally. And then we thought, at least in the narrative, that he was going to talk to Teresa about, like, okay, seriously, it was Ford, and let's get down to it. But something else was happening there. But also, I thought most of the robots were acting out because of the outside influence of the corporation.
And see, and that's what I really like, the idea of Arnold having plotted this stuff way before he died. The idea that he knew Ford's hubris would not allow, would push him to keep creating these bots until they were so human-like. And then that was like the tipping scale. Like this idea of once you give them memories, once you give them the ability to recall and respond to their actual environment, I'm going to turn this world you love so much right back on you.
Right. It brings a improvisation?
Whole new, well, not only that, but it brings to light this whole, these violent delights have violent ends. Like, this is violently delightful for Ford. And I think the idea of that key phrase being turned back against him. Sure. I think Arnold was a mean son of a bitch, and I really hope we get to see
or
some aspect of him.
Knew right. Ford so well that he could predict him. Like, that's your yeah. ultimate bad guy, good guy thing of, like, I knew all the steps you were going to take. Like, you know, I got this.
And coupled with the back end of that scene is afterwards we find out a few moments later that they end up decommissioning Clementine.
Poor Clementine. Yeah. She did nothing to deserve this.
Well, they wanted an innocent one that they wouldn't suspect.
And yeah. that's exactly that drew the ire of Maeve.
Yeah.
Who Maeve once again showed her badassery again.
Grabbed the knife, was ready right. to go.
We also saw
Why
that
did
Maeve.
Why did she not freeze?
Well, I think we saw I that mean, her perception was brought yes. up. And I think that we now find out that affects her in the system, and that she's not yes. really tuned into the Matrix.
Yeah. Well, because you have a moment, and you go, wait, and you're like, oh, yes, she had all her updates and everything.
Right.
But she was smart enough to be like, I'm going to pause.
Yeah, she did the mannequin.
She did the mannequin challenge.
She's the mannequin challenge.
She did the mannequin challenge right when she was supposed to. Yes. Yeah.
No, but I'm coming to the scene where she's bartering, not, I mean, I'm trying to remember when she, at first, see, there was a few misdirects even in this episode. If you think about it, because I thought Maeve was going to bring an end to Teresa myself. Because she gave right. her that glaring look at the end. I was like, oh, shit.
Maeve? Or they looked, yeah, they looked at each other. Oh, yeah. It was interesting of like,
And then for Bernard to yeah. do this all over, so they threw me off again. Just a few misdirects. And the biggest misdirect coming up a little bit later, I think, is William and Dolores. But we'll get to that in a second. Anything else that we want to add with Maeve and everything that's going on there?
Let's leave some time for predictions, because when we get into those IP addresses,
I mean,
I've got to tear up the floor.
Isn't it all predictions? I've given so many predictions now.
Are we just going to skip predictions?
It's morphed. We talk about what we think is going on, which what we think that means, which entails
It's well, then let's dive further
into After Buzz prediction.
Well, you know,
all right. Reveal. Yeah, thank you.
Anyway. Yeah.
So IPs, if you don't know, Hollywood essentially runs on them now. IP stands for intellectual property, and basically what it is when you own something.
Oh, I thought you were talking about IP addresses. No. So I got a little confused.
I thought she was going to go there too. I'm like,
yeah, I was
wait,
like,
what?
Why is there IP address?
Intellectual property.
All
yes.
right.
Yes.
Hey,
okay.
Watch the show, buddy.
He's just mad.
Yes, intellectual property. So when you have the rights
yes.
to the technology or the music or whatever you have the intellectual property of,
yes.
you can then sell it and remake it and duplicate it. Kind of like we have these other worlds beyond Westworld. I really, really like the idea of them being like, look, we want to expand upon our initial experiment. We're not here just for Cowboy, and this is going, whatever happens in these worlds elicits very direct and specific responses. But Roman world, you might be able to conduct completely separate experiments there. I really, really, really have this theory that the intellectual property once gained is so that they can expand upon this world.
So you think it's to start a Roman world or something
they
like that?
They want to make another one, but like...
I don't think that's the case.
I would love it to be that, but I think I've read somewhere that Nolan and Lisa Joy spoke about the fact that they were just going to stick to Westworld.
Even
I
if
hope
it's not,
wrong.
But
I
even if it's not directly another theme park, IPs mean you can take your product in whatever direction you want. That means if you want to sell it, we talked about
military
and spies here before. But even because she said that she doesn't care about the story. Or is it to, like, I'm just curious to see what they want to use the initial product
yes.
for and take it beyond. I like the idea of another world. I know
but
that
another
they said they were going to do it.
But another park that almost seems too easy and, like, mundane. Like,
right.
oh, they're just going to make another park. It seems like there's something deeper and bigger about
that.
What's going down. I mean, it's a great idea that they're going to build another park, but that doesn't seem so malicious the way she was talking about, like,
right.
oh, no, you have no idea what we're trying to get. Then
what
you're
if,
just like, what is it then?
What if it's, like we say, it's in turn of a nod to maybe like a Jurassic Park type of scenario where
mm-hmm.
they unleash the robots to the outside world?
I think it's, well, I think what they want
to
the robots
end,
for, I think they want the host to, for a slave force. They'll have like, they'll be,
sure.
if they bring them outside of the park, then you just have these slave labor that they can do whatever with. And I think that's profit. And I think also military-industrial complex. I think
sure.
they're going to want to sell them. And now they'll have soldiers
yep.
you can kill over and over again and
the
have people
corporate
attacking.
Idea of that, of then, since we know we have corporate espionage, and it seems to me like we have at least two corporations going up against one another,
mm-hmm.
The idea that the other one's going to come in and show that if these guys have semi-intelligence and can rebel, then they don't make a good labor force.
Right.
Oh, don't use their products. We could do it better.
Right.
Oh,
if these guys rebel, then
yeah.
that immediately eliminates your desire to have a slave labor
sure.
force.
That's true. If they actually, because that's why I think right now they're trying to use the idea of what's happening with Clementine
mm-hmm.
as a way to just gain control.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right, because I think what's going to happen in the series is that's not going to seem like corporate espionage. That's actually going to seem like the singularity is coming out in these
mm-hmm.
in the actual hosts.
You know, Joel, I want to pivot with what you said, because what you said that there's another corporation at hand, and I know there's no evidence pointing to this yet, but we find out more of William and Logan
yes.
and Juliet, who is William's bride-to-be, and we find, yes.
Which is interesting to bother mentioning her name and, like, keep bringing that up a couple times, that you're just like, well, it's like, I'm marrying his sister. It's like they're giving a character more depth than they need, so I wonder if there's more there.
Yeah,
maybe we're going to meet
you. Like, there's been other moments in the show where they're giving you more information than you're like, because everything is very specific. But so when you get information that's like bigger than what you need, you're like, why'd you give me
this
info?
Well, you know what is nice about that is it actually, in a show that's very confusing and involves a lot of predictions and a lot of, okay, I bet this means this and this means this. It's actually nice to hear a name like Juliet, so
yeah.
you're not like, I bet Charlotte Hale is Williams. You know, it's
oh, okay,
not,
sure.
you're not doing that because
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay, her name's Juliet, so
yeah.
it probably isn't her. So it's a nice way of keeping
it.
Dramatically,
it also really punches.
Yeah.
I feel like dramatically for Dolores, it also really punches. Like,
yeah.
this other girl has a name and a
yeah,
whole life.
Yeah, that's true. And then she's like, oh.
Right.
But doesn't
never
matter. It doesn't matter. She's not here. Different zip code.
It doesn't matter.
What I really liked about this scene is that Dolores, it to me, just depicted a full circle change for Dolores. From that kind of, where she's like, oh, I can't even kiss you, I have to get home before it's dark, I've never stayed out this late.
Right.
She was like, no, I'm pretty sure I want this, and just dived in, and I was like, good for you, Dolores, get it.
I was glad they got started getting on. But I thought it was funny. Like I said, I like that the secondary characters, you are completely buck naked. Our principal characters, you're kind of naked. Though Dolores has been naked before in the show.
I don't know. So. Yeah, and Maeve, I mean.
And Maeve. No, no. But I mean, like, the lovemaking scene. They had a lot of clothes on for that.
You guys were really, you were really mad about that.
I was like, I wasn't mad. I was just like, really?
And see, this is the part where I feel like I might be the only one, but I was very weirded out by this scene. As much as I liked it from a very feminist perspective of her being able to, like, you know, just get in there and do it, I was, it's weird to me that he's falling for a host. Even Dolores, who we know has some, like, human, to, like, he is really going in for this.
Yeah, but... Go ahead.
I was going to say, totally not connected, but that made me think there's a manga and anime series called Chobits, and he falls in love for a robot thing.
That also weirds me out. I have read it several times.
But it's so cute and adorable, and you're like, it's okay. They're their own person.
That was not what I was going to say.
But yes, go ahead.
That reminds me of the manga.
Just because she said he's falling for her, and that's the exact Yes.
I just, well, we did find a little bit of insight into William in this episode where he talked about how he read books and he would find escapism in these books as a kid.
Really well-written dialogue.
So
here.
Now and that also means that made it so it wasn't, I at least understood what William was doing now. Like, he was really escaping into the
world. Yeah.
He was doing that as he did in the books.
But here's my problem, is that the way he presents it is exactly the way it's been presented to him from the get-go. Like, he almost uses the exact same lines his friend does in the first one, where he's like, you know, this is it's a fantasy to get you, to make the real you come out. And he's like, oh, I thought it was to bring out the worst parts of you, but it brings out the deepest parts of you. And I'm like, that wording is so similar to how this has been presented to you, and the fact that you cannot see how easily it is to tip into either of those scales, to me feels dangerous and a little unhinged. And even the fact that he's like, you don't need to mention Juliet. Like, again, this is not a person. Like, as much as we sympathize with her and we feel like she's a person, she's not a person.
But that was his flip. That was his flip. Yeah. I'm sorry, because with Clementine, he even said a few episodes ago when she propositioned herself to him, and he was like, no, you know, I have someone real waiting for me at home. He made that discovery kind of like when Dolores is on her journey. This is William's journey with him, where
I'm
he flipped over.
I'm not denying that this isn't good, like a well-structured character development. It freaks me out. I feel like he's becoming detached from reality, and that concerns me.
It's kind of like a summer camp syndrome. You're away from the world.
I get
and
it.
You can be whoever you want. Nobody knows
you. I think it has
you.
Dangerous ramifications from him. I totally understand it. It makes sense in a writing point, and just from a human aspect, totally makes sense that he would go in this direction. I do not think that it ends well.
Is it
for him.
Bad because he's falling in love with this non-human thing?
It's bad because you can't live here. And you can't take her with you. Eventually, this vacation ends.
Okay.
He has 28 days.
Let him enjoy it then. Enjoy your vacation.
Unless he's the man in black.
Unless he's the man in black and he keeps coming back.
And that's why he keeps coming back,
I saw more parallels to that storyline this week than I ever have before.
But is it a little... And that was my problem with it. And I've been championing from the beginning of, like, William is the man in black and vis-a-vis whatever. Yeah. But it's almost a little too on the nose now. Because you heard El Lazo, you have a knack for this, for killing.
Yes, killing,
He had so many little lines, to me it's almost too on the nose.
I hope it's next week we find out. That's what I always say
you
this every week.
Cut.
But I'm ready, now that especially we have Bernard, that reveal, I think that next week we have the chance to maybe get a sense of that. And what's happening there, and I hope that they answer that question. I hope they realize that my one concern is that, you know, they wrote this, and now the fans have thought of this. And so if it's actually not true, we're not going to get a good answer.
No.
Because it's just by chance it's not true. But if it is true, then we probably are going to get an answer.
Because you also see that both William and Men in Black say there's a deeper game here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's so many of these parallels, like Joel was saying.
Right.
Well, it's that moment, like earlier when I was saying, would you be satisfied or surprised if Ford? So if William and Men in Black, are you going to, as a viewer, will you be like, yes, I knew that all along? Or is it kind of like, well, that's been kind of predictable? Like, right now, I feel it's almost going to be like, well, that's kind of predictable because we've been thinking that for so long.
I mean, even Bernard, who I will, like, for the first, like, 2 to 3 episodes, I was like, that guy is for sure a host. He's just too cozy. Like, that reveal still shook me emotionally. So I trust that these guys can construct a reveal well enough that if even if I guessed it, it'll still be emotionally impactful.
Yes, I agree.
Here's the thing. It's actually, it needs to change the game. And what's the problem now is if it's revealed, it wouldn't change anything. It's like, it doesn't really change how you look at the show or anything. It's like, oh, that happens to be in the past. And I guess that's when things are going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at the present. Mm-hmm. So it's not, it would be nice just to be like, okay, all right, now we know that's official. Let's just keep going. So it's not a question. But it wouldn't be as crazy as the Bernard reveal, because the Bernard reveal adds a new layer to everything. Now there's secret hosts. Yes. And this is the first time we kind of sensed that that was going to happen, but this is the first time we actually saw it, and the stakes have been raised.
What a jarring, like, again, just to talk about the emotional impact of that scene. Like, the whole, it says a lot more about Ford to me. And the way he programmed Bernard to begin the sequence, like, the event, the whole taking off of the tie, like, it's a very slow, methodical.
Oh, and his jacket,
methodical.
And his glasses.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a hitman getting ready to do his job.
Exactly, which like, we've already seen he's built a literal army.
It's interesting she didn't even really try to run. Anybody, I'm like, you could try.
No, I felt because her back was against the wall.
I don't know. There was one exit out of that basement.
Yeah, but Bernard's here. You could go around the box.
I think her fight or flight instinct was just slow. Because
It's also, you're just that dumbfounded of like, what?
Everything just uncovered.
It's deer in headlights.
Another question I have for you guys. Do you guys think Arnold built Ford the robots? Or do you think, because I feel like that's a really important thing for some reason.
Wait. Arnold built Ford the robots?
His family
thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah, I know, but because they're down there, I'm just wondering if that changed your opinion about it all, or if you trust Ford on
that
point.
That's why I think that Ford is also built.
Wait.
When the legend
Ford
becomes
was
truth.
Talking to Bernard about it, so then how true could anything be?
That's what I say. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I only question it because it was Bernard. If he was talking to anybody else, it might have been like...
True.
Truth.
But we know that kid exists, at least.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not that they don't.
Yeah.
Oh. So
you're saying they
might not even be there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. They do exist.
Yeah, they gotta be there. Because Bernard is here.
Just the question is, did Arnold really make them? Because he could have lied to Bernard saying Arnold made them because he's talking to Bernard, not somebody else.
Yeah.
So why even have those? Why even talk to Bernard? Because that makes me... Okay, so I have two ways of looking at this. Is that I think that either, Ford is really that shit insane.
Which our writer predicts in episode one.
Yeah, and he just has these conversations with these... what I like is, if he sees these hosts as the same as humans, he just doesn't care about humans very much. It's the same. Which you get a sense of when William says, you could tell whoever built this, I could see what they think of humans just by looking at that... That kind of crazy
throughout. You hear it throughout. Bernard even said it on tonight's episode that he's having a harder time, understanding humans. So it's almost more an affinity more towards hosts than humans. Joel, sorry.
Well, and no, that's totally okay. You also kind of wonder, why does he keep going to talk back to that really old host? Our cowboy. If we've seen him have conversations with Bernard, which are kind of a lot about family and children and storytelling. And then he kind of tells his actual stories to the bot that can't really respond back. His actions are very predictable. I feel like they're giving us a lot of little clues into Ford's psyche. And I'm just trying to pick your guys' brain as to what you think those eggs are or what they mean.
I'm really, really thinking he's a host as well. Because every time they've introduced, hey, why do the hosts talk to other hosts? And that's to work out, they've said, I forget the exact reasoning, but they've introduced the idea that they need to do that in order to improvise and to...
I think it just works on their programming,
Yeah, it works on their programming, improvises, and builds.
Yes.
So if that's actually Ford's part of that programming, that's why he's having all these crazy conversations with people he knows are fake. Because he's the same way, and he's just working on the programming of the entire thing.
And that's his practice as well. Wow.
Well, wait, if
fans are saying the same thing right now.
Feel like that's like...
Cleffa168 agrees with you as well.
If Ford is a host, then do you think he knows it?
I think he does. I think he's maybe the one. I think he's...
Because that's a whole other question. Because Bernard had absolutely no idea, and like he said, it protects him from it. But could Ford be the ultimate,
I think
version?
He's the singularity. I think he's the ghost in the machine.
Because it makes us question even ourselves as a viewer, if we're real. It's,
right.
What is real?
Sure. Someone brought up, someone tweeted at me last week, and I'm sorry, I don't have the tweet in front of me, but mentioned the fact that the way he said he talked to Bernard, or he talked to Dolores, and he says, "Oh yeah, Sister Dolores, and you remember your creator, you remember Arnold, you remember me." It's just the way he said it is sounded like he was almost combining the way he says Arnold and himself, and I don't think he is literally Arnold, but I think if he's a host as well, if he's like the big AI singularity going on, then he's as much a part of Arnold as the rest of the everything is. He's what Arnold kind of got into motion. Mm-hmm. Man. Which means I think they both died at the same time, and maybe that's what this is.
Thank you for that prop that passed this week. I may need it after listening to what you just said.
Boom. Wow. I don't know.
All right. Should we move on to any predictions?
This is what it has been.
Final thought predictions? Because I feel we've been saying other stuff anyways. Because, yeah, this is definitely an episode where you're just like, wait, I need a moment to digest.
I also have a question. Yeah. I have a question, and maybe people chiming in. What's up again with Where the Mountains Meet the Sea? Because you have Dolores. Do you remember this?
Finish your thought.
Dolores in... So... In a previous episode, I know they mentioned something about where the mountains meet the sea, and that's where people... Maybe I think they're talking about the shades, or they're talking about their religion.
I think Lawrence said something about that.
Yeah, I can't remember who, so that's what I'm asking the viewers, if people remember where it's coming from, because that's not the first time I heard about where the mountains meet the sea, and how that's, like, the place to be. I don't mean to rhyme. But it seems like that's... Yeah. It's where Dolores is headed to.
I thought Lawrence talked about it when they were talking about like going down to Mexico. Of like, that's where mountains meet the sea. Like, that's another area
away. It was earlier on, and it was Dolores. I thought that it was Dolores talking to James Marsden's character.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken. And he was talking about all of the things he's seen. Yeah.
It's where Dolores wants to go eventually?
Yeah, I think that was the... If I'm remembering correctly, maybe.
Because she's thinking about where... What her future would entail.
Chat room says Teddy.
Oh, Teddy said it or did...
Well, it's their conversation. Yeah, Dolores their talking conversation. With Teddy. I think it's when they were on the cliff together and they're talking about like where they could go and that
Which
kind of
to
stuff.
Me, she's been asking for all of this help to find the place and this other voice has been in her head.
And the maze.
And ain't nobody ever come back from there. I'm like, well, that seems like a real good place to put a maze.
Yeah.
Where people don't come back from. And that's maybe they're not finding the stuff.
That's part of the game for Dolores.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the actual maze is would be interesting.
Did you have more on that when he said the ocean?
No, that was pretty much it. Yeah, yeah.
It could be, and I think you made a good point of saying, like, nobody comes back from there. So if that's the maze and you've reached your consciousness or something,
Here's something from Itchin010. The big holographic map at the headquarters shows a sea. Also thought it was strange that she said that because it's a river in her drawing, not a sea.
Yeah, and she sees a river.
And it was a river, and she's like, that's my dream. And I'm like, I was thinking the ocean.
Yeah, and in the holographic thing, because I saw that on Reddit as well in a conversation, someone pointed at it and quoted that little quote from Teddy or one of them from that conversation, which is why I was like, I know I've seen that before, because they were pointing at that specific hologram image. So it's important somehow, and I think maybe they'll follow that river to the sea.
Just around the
riverbed. A lot of stuff.
Anybody?
Now, we also have some sound, you know, a little snippet of what we're going to see next week.
Yeah.
And we had, I wrote some of this down, and of course, you talked about it, about Bernard questioning why he had to kill, why she had to die, why Therese had to die.
I thought that was very interesting.
Interesting that Ford looked like he was addressing it, too.
He was crying about it. Yeah. So I was whoa, that gives it a new level that he can feel sad about it. Instead of analysis mode of, done.
No, and even Ford, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, one death, none the matter, in the question of one's dominion.
Say it again.
Who said that, Ford?
Yeah. But I've totally paraphrased it. It was one death, none the matter, in the question of one's dominion.
Hmm. Yeah. I also thought I saw, and I could be just, you know, this, again, I could be a host, so maybe this isn't real, but I thought I saw a little bit of the Black Chapel. Which makes me wonder. In the next episode,
I saw the white one.
The white one, yes.
Well, I thought I saw it in back of Dolores as she's talking to William. Mm. I thought I saw the black chapel there, which makes me wonder if that's not, if we're doing the, if it's in the past, if that wasn't Ford going, oh, I'm going to create this, but it's him remembering something that happened there.
William,
and maybe that's going to be next week.
William also has an interesting line of, this place isn't good for you. And I'm wondering if something is happening with her programming in there that makes her act different next week than we've seen her before.
I also love, by the way.
What is that face?
I don't want to say it because I'm getting cuckoo with you guys right here because.
Say it.
Please shoot me down.
Okay.
Could this all be part of the narrative for Dolores that Ford instilled? That William said, this is not for you. Okay. So could William be a host as well, part of the game for Dolores?
Oh my gosh.
I don't think William.
See, that's what I'm saying. Anyone else
I told
is a
you,
host.
I started that proper early.
You know what though? Everything with the show, it's everyone can throw out crazy theories because they go, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe you have no idea what's going on, but that's kind of the fun of it though.
You know
then
what's
you're great? Like, well, maybe.
You know what's great, and what I'm glad they did was, and I thought it was weird at the time. Is that they didn't just cast a young Anthony Hopkins. They actually made like a digital young Anthony Hopkins, which was kind of great because that means we know William is not Ford. Or we know, you know, like we know that no one is young Ford.
So that crosses one out.
Yeah, which also might make it seem like if we see William meet a young Anthony Hopkins, then we know what's going on. Or it also makes it so is... This is why I'm wondering if it also makes you think that Ford is not a host unless we see that they've just been building Fords every generation to make him look older.
That was my thought with Bernard because he's been within the company for a very long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thinks he has.
Well, we get the sense...
We're getting the hooker.
Based on what you said, though, of like... Okay. Then... Prestige, because they're baby. Two adult actors, then that makes me think for William and Men in Black aren't necessarily the same person. Because
that's true, because you would see a young Ed Harris.
Yeah, you'd just find someone who looks more like him, because visually they don't really look anything alike.
Or that,
unless those viewers who are like, oh my gosh, there's the mole on this side, and they look, and you're just like, calm down.
Yeah, but that also might, they might thought that was a red herring to be like, oh, William can't be the Man in Black, because it's not a young Ed Harris. And we saw this, and so when they do reveal that he is the Man in Black.
And they did reveal it, I would accept
so
it.
So then how does face change?
I mean,
a lot.
Maybe I think they could be the same type of person. If you cast them the same, I just if they ever do that reveal, it just better change the story somehow. Yeah. That's the only thing I have.
Well, we have three episodes to find out.
Only three?
Three left.
Yeah. That was seven. So we have 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I also say I love when Dolores says, "I am not a key, William."
I love that. That was
a great line, and it's also very curious in a lot of ways.
And then I know we're at the end, but I don't know how much attention we really gave Maeve.
Maeve is a badass. She came to slay.
I'm like, it was awesome.
She wants out. Yes. She wants out of Westworld.
Yes. And
she's
recruiting.
She makes it, and I think she's gonna make it. Like, I hope she takes Desperado with her.
But do you get destroyed? Because he said even your skin is designed to stay here. So I almost think, like, she crosses over the line.
Her intelligence is at 100, and I have a feeling, again, Ford's hubris will not allow him to make faulty equipment. He just controls how well they work. And she seems to be getting... Like, she was using the programming thing at one point. I really feel like Maeve has a good chance. Maybe not. Maybe we'll end tragically.
He sees all, though. Ford
is letting this happen. So far, he has seen all. But if he's a bot, then who has the command controls to stop him?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to find out.
Well, that's why it's so frightening.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So any theories, guys, send us, because we need them. Because we, like I said, this was an incredible episode.
And I'm going to try to bring in name text, because we had a whole bunch of people like tweeting us throughout the week this week. So thank you so much for sending us your theory videos.
Video links. Love it.
Yeah.
All right. With that said, play the music, Neil. So, Joelle, where can the fans find you?
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over in like 2 or 3 days to catch my review for Moana on blackgirlnerds.com.
Nice.
Cross table.
I just like how you're like, oh, I'm still in like a mood from
this episode. Salty about it,
but
guys.
But you know what? That's what they make you feel.
I know. And I still get to see Jeffrey Wright, so it's okay.
My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MRDaveChild. Please yell at me or tell me your theories. You don't like mine. That's fine with me.
And for the bicameral mind upstairs, Neil, where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere at the Neil Plumley. I don't have a lower third for myself, but maybe next week.
So for Neil, Dave, Carrie, Joel, I'm JC, and we will see you next week. Send us your theories. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.